Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Art Cure, The Science of How the Arts Save Lives by Daisy Fancourt is a non-fiction book that argues for the arts as a serious public health resource rather than a cultural extra. Drawing on research in neuroscience, epidemiology, psychology, and public health, it presents arts engagement as a measurable factor in well-being across the life course. Fancourt examines both creating and experiencing art, from music and dance to museums, theater, and other forms of participation, and connects these activities to outcomes such as stress reduction, cognitive resilience, social connection, and healthy aging. The book is not a general celebration of creativity. It is an evidence-based case for why arts participation belongs in conversations about prevention, care, and longevity. Its purpose is practical as well as intellectual, to help readers understand how arts engagement can support health and why institutions should take it seriously. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the arts as a fifth pillar of health, not a lifestyle extra. The book's central argument is that the arts belong alongside diet, sleep, exercise, and nature as a foundational influence on health. This framing is important because it changes the category of the discussion. The arts are not presented as optional enrichment, but as a domain with consequences for biological and psychological functioning. Fancourt uses this idea to challenge the common assumption that art is only valuable for leisure or elite culture. Instead, she positions arts engagement as something that can influence everyday health outcomes in ordinary settings. That claim matters because it encourages readers and policymakers to think about prevention more broadly. If arts participation can support well-being at scale, then access to cultural activity becomes a health equity issue, not just an arts funding issue. The book's strength here is that it makes a conceptual shift without relying on sentiment. It builds a case that the arts are part of the infrastructure of health, which gives the subject a new level of seriousness and usefulness. Secondly, how arts engagement affects the brain, stress systems, and recovery. A major theme is the way the book links arts participation to measurable mechanisms in the body and brain. Fancourt draws on evidence from neuroimaging, biomarkers, wearable data, and cognitive research to explain why arts activities can affect stress, mood, and neural functioning. Rather than treating art as mysterious or purely emotional, she shows that music, dance, visual art, and performance can interact with brain development, attention, memory, and recovery processes. This mechanism-focused approach helps the book move beyond simple correlation. It suggests that arts engagement may support resilience because it combines sensory stimulation, motor activity, emotional regulation, and social involvement in ways that are biologically meaningful. The discussion also makes clear that different arts may have different effects depending on the kind of engagement involved. Listening, attending, making, and performing are not identical experiences. By emphasizing mechanism, the book becomes more than a defense of art in general. It becomes a framework for understanding why certain forms of participation may be useful for specific health goals. Thirdly, evidence across the lifespan, from childhood brain development to healthy aging. The book is organized around the idea that arts engagement matters at every stage of life. It highlights findings suggesting that music can support early brain development in children, while creative hobbies later in life may help maintain cognitive resilience and emotional well-being. This lifespan perspective is one of the book's most persuasive features because it prevents the arts from being treated as relevant only to a single demographic or life stage. Instead, Fancourt shows how the arts can be connected to development, maintenance, and adaptation over time. That broad scope also helps explain why the book appeals to readers interested in retirement, aging, caregiving, and lifelong learning. The arts are not presented as a cure for one problem, but as a flexible resource that may support different needs at different ages. This approach is analytically useful because it reflects how health actually works. People need different kinds of support in childhood, midlife, and old age, and arts participation may play a role in each. The result is a more comprehensive vision of health than one limited to short-term symptom management. Fourthly, active participation, social connection, and the health value of shared culture. Another important dimension of the book is its attention to the social side of arts engagement. Fancourt does not focus only on solitary creativity. She also considers attending concerts, museums, theaters, exhibitions, and other shared cultural experiences. This matters because many of the health effects discussed in the book are not just individual or cognitive, but social. Participation in the arts can create routine, belonging, identity, and connection, which are crucial factors in well-being and aging. The book suggests that these experiences may lower risks related to loneliness and frailty, showing how cultural participation can function as a protective social habit. It also introduces the idea of active arts engagement, encouraging readers to build regular practices rather than waiting for inspiration or treating art as a rare event. This makes the book practical because it turns a broad claim into an actionable framework. The social dimension distinguishes the book from narrowly therapeutic accounts of creativity. It treats the arts as a shared human environment that shapes health through relationships, not just through private self-expression. Lastly, a research-driven arts prescription for readers, clinicians, and policymakers. The book stands out because it translates research into a usable model for action. Fancourt does not stop at reporting benefits. She uses the idea of an arts prescription to help readers think about what kind of arts activity might fit a particular health goal. That approach reflects a serious attempt to connect evidence with practice. It also makes the book relevant to healthcare professionals and policymakers, not only general readers. For clinicians, the value lies in recognizing arts participation as a complement to conventional care and social prescribing. For policymakers and arts administrators, the book provides a rationale for investing in cultural access as part of population health strategy. For individual readers, it offers a way to evaluate timing, frequency, and type of engagement, rather than assuming all art has the same effect. This practical orientation is a major part of the book's identity. It is not a vague argument that art is good. It is an evidence-based attempt to show how arts engagement can be selected, supported, and integrated into daily life in ways that may improve health outcomes. In conclusion, Art Cure will be most useful for readers who want a serious research-based account of why the arts matter for health. It will appeal to general readers interested in aging, well-being, and the science of behavior, but it is also well-suited to healthcare professionals, public health thinkers, cultural workers, and policymakers looking for a broader framework for prevention and social prescribing. Its practical benefit is that it helps readers think about arts engagement more deliberately, not as an occasional indulgence, but as a potential habit with health relevance. Its intellectual benefit is that it brings together evidence from multiple disciplines into a coherent argument that is easy to grasp without becoming simplistic. What makes the book stand out in its category is its refusal to treat art as metaphor. Instead, it treats arts participation as a measurable, actionable part of human health. Compared with inspirational books about creativity, this one is more grounded in research. Compared with technical academic work, it is more readable and public-facing. That combination gives it a distinctive place in the growing literature on health, aging, and the social value of culture. If you would like to support Daisy Fancourt, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.